Now that our appetites have been whetted by discussion of the Central West End, we'll kick it up a notch with a discussion about what's new and must-try new places in our local restaurant world. It's our monthly Hit List segment. With me in studio, Catherine Claney, Sauce Magazine managing editor and staff writer Matt Sorrell. Nice to have you back with us again.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
My appetite was whetted by talking about the Central West End and all the great places there, but you've got some new places to talk about. And Matt, I guess you're the guy that's going to kick this discussion off, right, with the Charlottesville Brewing Company?
I sure am. So Charlottesville Brewing Company and Tavern just opened on Shodo. It's 2101 Shodo, right by the Vindicet complex right there. Mm-hmm. It is a partnership between Charlottesville Brewing Company and the Hamilton Hospitality Group. They're the folks that own 1111 Mississippi, Vindicet, PW Pizza. So this is a brew pub. They're going to have 14 Charlottesville brews on tap, have a really nice big menu of bar snacks and sort of comfort food. Our favorite so far has been the Sloppy Jojo, which is a big, meaty, cheesy mound of goodness served on an open-faced spent grain sourdough bread. And they also have a nice house-smoked pastrami sandwich. And my favorite is the South City fried chicken livers. So if you are leery about chicken livers, this is kind of like a great gateway. Very smooth, very creamy, not some of the dark gaminess that some people kind of get put off on.
Matt, I have to tell you, I was there on Sunday for the first time.
And would you like it?
And was much comforted by the comfort food. Yeah.
Good, good, good.
No, what surprised me was the size of the place, because in driving by on one or two occasions, I didn't realize it was going to be as big.
I felt the same way. I got a sneak peek a couple weeks ago before they opened, and I drive by there all the time. It's right by the office. And it was just a kind of a nondescript building. Mm-hmm. You go inside, and it's just very expansive. And the director of operations, Tate Russell, did a really nice job. He did all of the wood and the metalwork inside there. It's all reclaimed materials, and he just did a fantastic job.
It used to be an old machine shop, which is really cool. Like, they kept all the steelwork in the top that they used to move the engines with. They kept all of that and just used it as decoration. So yeah, it's a really cool space.
And a lot of exposed brick, which I like a lot. Yeah. Okay, I guess we've given them enough, but I certainly enjoyed my time there.
Good.
Now, are we going to go a little German on this, Catherine?
Actually, we're gonna swing by Pizza Head first on South Grand. So Pizza Head has opened up in that stretch of South Grand with all the fun international restaurants. Surprisingly, didn't really have much of a pizza presence down there. So Scott Sandler, who owns Pizzioli in Soulard, was really known for these meticulous Neapolitan-style pies, cooked at a very specific temperature, only made a certain way, specific ingredients. Pizza Head is where he lets his punk rock hair down, so to speak. Giant New York-style pies. They're big. You can buy them by the slice or as a 20-inch pizza. So there's no middle ground. You either get a lot or you get a slice. And they're big. They're foldable. They have that classic thin, chewy New York-style crust. The one thing about Pizza Head that is similar to Pizzioli is it is vegetarian. So you choose between a classic red sauce, a creamy white sauce, or a vegan nut-based cheese option. And then you choose from a list of vegetarian toppings. And he does have a veggie sausage or a veggie pepperoni option, which sounds a little off-putting to carnivores and omnivores like myself. But when you try it, it actually has all the flavor and texture of what you're looking for, just a little less grease from the pepperoni. It's a bare-bones menu. There's one salad and then a handful of beverages, and then you get a few by-the-slice options or build your own pizza. It's very, very basic. But the specials are the way to go. You can get a 20-inch cheese pizza and 4 16-ounce stag beers for $25. It's really easy to split with a friend. Or dine solo, you can get 2 cheese slices and a domestic pint for $8. So if you're looking to eat a lot of pizza on a dime, it's a good place to go.
You know, I'm eager to try that out because I grew up just outside of New York. And New York pizza is different.
Oh, so I want to
test and see.
We need your final judgment on it, Don.
Because a lot of people claim New York pizza and it doesn't taste any. It's different. It's certainly
I
different.
Admit I am not an expert on New York pizza, but this is definitely some of the closest I've seen around town. Here in Racanelli's are pretty much the closest I think I've seen to New York style, so it's very good.
We'll give it a try. Matt, you're going German.
I am, just a bit. So recently, the old Bevo Mill has been rejuvenated and reopened as Das Bevo.
And that's over
4749 Gravois Avenue. If you're like me and you grew up with the Bevo Mill, and that was, you know, I remember going there as a kid. It was a big deal when the folks took you there. It's a little different now. It's not quite as much of a fine dining situation as it used to be back in the day. There's a beer hall there. They have sort of a small pub-style menu. There's definitely German-American sort of accents there, but it's not traditional German food. So you're not going to get a lot of, like, you know, what you would get at a traditional German restaurant. But you will get some really cool things, like one of our favorites was the Kraut Balls. So these are deep-fried sort of spheres of sauerkraut and bratwurst. Like I said, deep-fried, and they come with a little bit of tangy, like a beer cheese mustard sauce. Very, very good. Very good if you're just going to get a stein of beer and sit back on the patio. They also have some bigger plates. They have some burgers, sandwiches, sausage boards. And then they also have bigger specialties like the pork schnitzel, which is really nice. You know, obviously pounded really thin. It's on, or open face on a piece of grilled rye bread, and then it has a little bit of bacon and bratwurst gravy and a little bit of a carrot and kraut slaw. So really nice. Again, the building obviously is stunning, and it's so great to have it back in action in that area.
It has struggled in past years trying to find the right mix and the right way to work and make it work.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, they for a while they were doing brunch only. There was also a time when it was a kind of a catering concern.
Who owns that now? Do we know who's got it?
Ownership, off the top of my head, I don't know. Yeah. I know that the catering arm of Sugar Fire is the mm-hmm. ones that are actually doing the food itself. But there's also a B&B there, some other non-food entities as well.
Yeah. The ownership is the same group that owns the Majorette and the Bucat Club, is that right?
It's
that same ownership group. I forget. The name escapes me.
There have been a few owners over the last decade or so.
And when we spoke to them, they said, you know, they wanted to stress this is not a reopening of Bevo Mill. It's not a traditional German restaurant. It's sort of their spin on a German restaurant, a sort of German-American accented restaurant, if you will. So,
therefore, the Das Bevo.
Yes.
The German-sounding new name. Speaking of names, I love
Humble
I
Pie.
I love it.
we're back to pizza again. This one is called Humble Pie, which is, I don't know how that pizza name has not been taken sooner. It's perfect. This is brought to you by the team from Fozzie's Sandwich Emporium. So a lot of people in the Richmond Heights area know this place. They've stepped into the pizza game in Ladue. They're right there on Clayton Road, and they have a big menu of pizzas and salads available. As far as the salads go, we ordered the pesto chicken salad, thinking it would just be your typical mayonnaise-based salad. And it actually is that, but it's served on top of romaine, so you feel a little healthier eating it. And then you basically get two options for the pizzas. You can choose between a super thin crust or a focaccia-like Sicilian crust, which is thick and has those crispy edges. We, of course, like a classic pepperoni on the thin crust was great, but we really liked the lily pad on the Sicilian crust. So the lily pad had an herbed ricotta sauce. It was topped with leeks, caramelized onions, portobellos, sausage, and a little bit of truffle oil. So it has that kind of earthy funk with just sort of creamy goodness from the ricotta. It was really nice. And we can't forget dessert there, because the Gimme S'more Pie was so good. It's crazy rich. It was a dense hazelnut chocolate ganache topped with marshmallow fluff. So it's sort of like digging a spoon into a can of Nutella and then toasting it with a s'more. It was just really, really decadent.
What is it with pizza all of a sudden? It's always been popular, but it seems like in recent months there's just been a surge of pizza places around town.
I think it appeals to a wide audience. I mean, you can have people that just want pepperoni. And then you can have people that want something like that lily pad pizza with truffle oil. And it's a very versatile canvas to do whatever you want with it.
It's almost like the craft beer thing in that you can find something new. And there's a lot of experimentation going on.
You really
on,
can,
obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, and that is on Clayton Road, right?
That's correct. Clayton Road in Ladue.
Yeah, okay. And where do we go from here to an opening?
Couple upcoming openings that we've heard about this past month that we're excited for. Pangea is one that we're looking for. Jessie Gilroy, who is currently the sous chef at Sydney Street Cafe, is opening her own restaurant, her first one in the Newtown neighborhood in St. Charles. Jessie was one of our ones to watch in 2015. She's worked in kitchens at Cucina Pazzo and the Tavern in the Central West End. She's done some time at Charlie Guido's. And as I said, she's currently in Sydney at Sydney Street Cafe, who just won a James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest. So she's planning to open Pangea in the Newtown neighborhood, and it's a focus on combining global influences, as the name might imply. Look for that opening around this September, so we're excited to see where she takes that.
And this next one seems like a contradiction in terms somehow, Matt.
It is an unusual name. This one is Taco Buddha. It'll be opening in the Del Mar Loop area. Probably late June, early July is what we're looking at right now. It is in the old space that used to be Purjack's and several other restaurants as well. It's pretty small. It's about 25 seats inside, 25 outside. They are specializing, obviously, as the name implies, in tacos, but they're looking more at world flavors. So there's going to be things like a tandoori chicken taco. There's going to be a Thai taco with ginger and red pepper. They also are going to have some other specialties. They're going to have sopapillas, rice and beans, and also breakfast tacos, because initially they're only going to be open 3 days a week, going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it's just going to be daytime hours, and they're going to be doing breakfast and lunch type things. And then they're going to open up hopefully in October, 6 days a week, regular service.
Tacos is something we normally associate with Mexico, but a version of tacos can be found in many different environments, can't they?
Absolutely. I mean, the taco is a really, like Catherine was saying about pizza, it's a great vessel to kind of for creativity, and many cultures figured out that you can put good stuff in a taco form and go from there.
But not everybody's opening a place these days, Catherine.
Couple of closures that happened last month. Two notable ones, Papo's Pizza and Brew Co. That was in Midtown in the old Six Row Brewing space. They closed on May 7th. They made that announcement via social media. This was the first St. Louis location for the Osage Beach-based pizza restaurant. It opened in January 2016, so it lasted a little over a year. According to their social media post, they just said the concept wasn't sustainable in the area, but they are looking at other options to brew their beer in St. Louis. So we'll see if they happen to pop up somewhere else.
It's a tough business. We've talked about this before, but boy, it's not easy being successful in the restaurant
mm-hmm.
business.
Definitely.
Yeah. Too bad. A lot of effort and a lot of money often goes into the end of the effort. Okay, Matt, back to you.
Well, the other notable one we have as far as closures is Grapeseed. This is a place that was on in the Soha neighborhood. And they closed their doors on, I think it was April 30th. Reason being, they announced on Facebook they were pursuing other opportunities out of state, which turns out they are actually moving to Phoenix to do some things. They were actually one of our reviews that we did in 2014. It was very positive. So popular place, but just for whatever reason, just couldn't quite keep up.
Well, it's always sad to hear about those efforts not making it. I have a note here from one of our producers. Kelly writes, I've heard there's a new French fry food truck in town. Is that true? It sounds like a fun concept.
That is
by
true.
Edibles
it is true.
And Essentials.
Edibles and Essentials is a restaurant in the Southampton area, and they have just announced that they are launching a food truck focusing on their very popular French fries. Matt, you spoke to the owner, but I believe it's going to be it's not just French fries. There's going to be a lot of bigger dishes associated with French fries, right?
There's going to be French fry-based dishes. So there's going to be like large portions, things like they're going to do a poutine. They're going to do a couple other variations. They have about five or six menu items to start with, and then they may be doing some seasonal rotations as it gets going. And they should be on the road probably, I believe, it was mid to late June.
Mm-hmm. How many food trucks are there out there anymore?
Oh, geez. We did our best new food truck piece last year, and I want to say that there was probably 60 or 70 food trucks on the streets when we were researching that piece. So I can only assume there's a few more. A few have closed, but there's a lot of trucks out there right now.
I wonder, do you have any idea whether this whole concept is catching on in other parts of the country?
Oh, yeah.
In fact, we were fairly, I would say, St. Louis was a late adopter.
Mm-hmm.
The West Coast, for sure, that's been a thing for many years. East Coast as well, and then it kind of just traveled to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a going concern. It still makes a lot of sense for people who don't want to invest in a brick-and-mortar space, but they want still to kind of maybe test the waters and do that later, or just not be as tied down to a space.
Yeah. Conversely, it's also a great opportunity for established restaurants to sort of take a smaller operation on the road and increase their reach and their marketing value. We've seen a lot of that too.
Yeah.
Mission Taco Joint. Soul Taco, I guess, did the flip, but I know that there's a few restaurants that have done that. Edibles and Essentials is another great example.
Yeah.
And you, if you're new to the game, you can test your product and see how well
Absolutely.
It's accepted
yeah.
And then go from there
Absolutely.
Without the kind of investment that you need for the brick-and-mortar place
for sure.
Absolutely.
We're talking about. All right. Well, I know that you've got a big event coming up.
We do.
Let's talk about
Saucy Soiree takes place this Sunday, June 4th. This is our favorite event of the year. It's our annual Reader's Choice Party. So it features unlimited tastings from more than 40 of the best culinary establishments in St. Louis that won or placed in our Reader's Choice poll that our readers voted on in February and March. So you're going to expect unlimited tastings from places like Katie's Pizza and Pasta, Sydney Street Cafe, Sugar Fire Smokehouse. There's dozens more. We just posted the lineup today, and I'm very excited because I'm going to be very hungry on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So it takes place starting at 5 p.m. at Union Station. Tickets are $40 online right now. They go up to $55 at the door. So my advice to everybody is get them online right now. Save $15. And then you can just come on in, check in, and then enjoy yourselves. It's 5 to 10. We'll have live music from the Jeremiah Johnson Band and Analog Thief. There'll be a cash bar after you've sampled everything. If you still want to drink a little more, there'll be a bar. It's just a great night. It's a fun night to meet all these people that we talk about and write about all year long and really get to sample some of the best that the city has to offer that maybe you haven't gotten to try yet. So saucemagazine.com is where you want to go for those tickets.
And we'll put a link to that on our website at sdlpublicradio.org. We have about a minute left, and we spent the first part of the program talking about the Central West End. Restaurants are a big part of that world.
Oh, sure.
Of that world. How stable is the restaurant scene in the Central West End?
My opinion is it's fairly stable. There's always some flux. Some places come and go. But it still remains, especially the Euclid Corridor, it really remains a very solid place to open a restaurant, I think, as a non-restaurant owner. But there's also – but the Euclid Quarter is not what it's all about either. There's some great places a little bit outside, like places on Sarah, like Retreat Gastropub, Scottish Arms, The Block. There are other places, Vicia, which just opened in the Cortex development. There's a lot of diversity, and it remains a really popular restaurant destination.
Whether they're doing a good business these days with weather like this,
absolutely,
a lot of folks are at those patios. Folks, I want to thank you so much for being with us. I hope you have a great saucy soiree, if you will, Catherine,
thank you.
This weekend.
Welcome.
Looking forward to that. And thank you, Matt Sorrell, for
thank
being
you.
With us as well. Good luck, and we'll see you in about a month.
Sounds good. So,
thank you. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with educator Tom Herr about his new book examining formative skills that students need to be successful in school. We'll also take a look at Shakespeare Festival St. Louis's production of The Winter's Tale. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.